This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Ever wonder about the stories of the women around you?
We wanted to create an intentional space for women to share the wisdom they have gained through life experiences.
Tune in to be in awe of some of the wonder women in our midst. Wondering Women on ORFM Dunedin.
Kia ora and welcome to Wondering Woman. I am your host today, Amy Armstrong, and I have an exciting guest with me today. Her name is Sophia Haizal. Kia ora, Sophia, and assalamu alaikum.
Kia ora, wa alaikum salam. As Amy mentioned, my name is Sophia Haizal. I'm a recent high school graduate, and I have my own hijab business named Pillar. And that's just, a few interesting things about me.
That's very interesting. So you've just finished high school.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah. It's exciting. Yeah. But it is quite scary. I don't really know what the future holds, but I am looking forward to it.
Yeah. Oh, it's a big milestone.
Yeah, it is. Because I feel like high school is all I've really known. So this whole thing is a bit terrifying.
Yeah. Oh, it's exciting though, isn't it? Like there's every step of life has new chapters that have unknowns and excitement. But this is sort of the first big rite of passage, isn't it?
Yeah, like, definitely. Yeah. And I feel there's so much more to life than just the walls of Bayfield High School. But yeah.
Oh, cool. Bayfield. I was going to ask you where you went.
Yeah.
So, I've heard about you before and your hijab business called Pillar, did you say?
Yeah, Pillar.
So, which is very cool, especially for an 18-year-old. Are you 18?
Yeah, I'm 18, yeah.
To have your own business. And I also work with your dad a bit, and we're colleagues in chaplaincy. Like, I'm in Catholic chaplaincy, and he's in Muslim chaplaincy. So I've heard about you from him, but also from other people. So, your name is out there, girl.
That makes me feel good about myself.
That's very cool. So, yeah, I'm just curious to know... you're obviously a very motivated and you have strong initiative and ambition for a young woman. But tell us how this business came about. What was the inspiration and the...
Yeah. So, I've always had a passion for fashion, I would say. Mm. But growing up Muslim in New Zealand, it was quite difficult to find hijabs for myself because it is quite hard to source. But especially ones that were stylish and, modern, I would say. And so I had the inspiration to start this hijab business because of that. And I started it because of Young Enterprise, which is a school-based project where you start your own business as part of the class, I guess.
Okay.
So I started it when I was 16.
Wow.
Actually, yeah. And it was really tough at first, but I really enjoy it and I'm really passionate about both fashion and business. So mixing those two was really fun, actually. Yeah.
And so it came from a practical sort of need, but then a real creative drive.
And so
when you say they're hard to source, do people just buy them online or are there local options?
There's not a lot of local options. Mm. The local options that we do have are quite good, but they didn't really exist a few years ago and they're all also relatively new.
Mm-hmm.
People usually just resort to buying them online from overseas and they're not that expensive because, but the shipping is quite a lot and does add to it.
Mm.
The hijabs I make specifically, because I wanted to make them really unique and like add a Kiwi twist to it, they're actually made out of merino fabric.
Okay.
So it is more sustainable than, other fabrics. And also I use dead stock, which means it's at the end of its line and will never be made again. So that's also another sustainable aspect to it, I guess.
Yeah. So what's it called? Dead stock.
Dead stock. Okay. Yeah.
So just stock that wasn't going to be bought and was going to maybe be put into the landfill.
Yeah.
You're buying it and
making it into hijabs.
Yeah. Cool. Mm. Gosh. And so it is sustainable, like both the fabric and then that you're saving this particular fabric from the landfill.
Yeah. I think Yeah, the good thing about Young Enterprise is that it really tries to drill the sustainability aspect into your business. And I think I really wanted to embody that in every single part of the business. So from the fabric itself, it's sustainable. And then the way I sourced it was sustainable. And then the packaging as well. We decided to put them in wash bags because hijabs are usually have to be washed in them anyways, because otherwise it'll be damaged. So, you know, giving a practical packaging is better than plastics and paper, which usually comes in most packagings these days.
So each one comes in its own wash bag as its packaging. Cool. That's really clever and innovative. So the fashion side of things, you've always been interested in it?
Yeah, I have always been interested in fashion. I've always really liked to style myself, I guess. Yeah, and I'm also... I really enjoy designing things. Like since a young age, art has always been something I've been interested in, but I never really felt like I was that good of an artist, but I saw myself as a better designer, I would say.
So
I really enjoyed that side of fashion.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you source this fabric and the dead stock and then you design it yourself? The hijabs?
Well, hijabs are actually really simple to design. There's nothing too complicated about it. But because it was a lot easier for me to just make one product over the 2 years, because I was in high school, I was really busy. I had sports, academics, and all that. So it was a lot easier for me to just focus on one product. But I do want to make Pillar as a brand be a modest fashion brand. So I make more than just hijabs.
Well, what would you like to expand to? Do you have thoughts already about that? Or
In Malaysia, we have these things called hand socks. They're like sleeves that add to your outfit to, you know, because there's a lot of, it's hard to find really modest clothes here. As Muslims, that is something that we want, of course. But on top of that, we want it to be stylish. And so there are really nice, like, short sleeves clothes, but it's really hard to wear something underneath because it's summer and it's hot. So if you just add a little sleeve to it, it will, you know, look fashionable.
Cool.
Yeah.
Hand socks. So they're just like tubes essentially that go up your arm.
Yeah.
Cover your arms. And
yeah. So like hand socks.
Yeah.
Socks for your hands.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And I can see that taking off. Like even to non-Muslim people, like that could be quite fashionable and modest at the same time. You can be fashionable and modest, can't you? And sometimes in the West, fashion seems to be driven by certain agendas or whatever, but that's really cool to be introduced to another style. And
Because I mean, of course, it's not just Muslims who would be interested in modest fashion.
That's
there'll
right.
be a lot of people who would be. That's exciting.
That is exciting. And in Dunedin as well, it's practical. Like,
Because it's cold.
It's cold. We need coverage.
Definitely.
Need warmth. And, I like this idea very much. Cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you're originally from Malaysia?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was born there. And then my parents came here when I was around 3.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've grown up here, basically.
Do you remember Malaysia? I guess do you have memories before we're 3?
Well, no, I mean, I do have a few, but they're not very Malaysia specific. But there was a time when my parents actually went back to Malaysia to live there for a bit. So I lived there for 3 years when I was between ages 7 to 10, I think. So not too long, but I did experience the Malaysian life for a bit.
Cool. And do you feel both places are your home? Do you feel tied more to one than the other? Or
I mean, I definitely feel more tied to New Zealand than Malaysia. But, you know, I still consider my Malay heritage when doing a lot of things. So. And I do really like the food in Malaysia.
Can you get good Malaysian food in Dunedin?
No, not in Dunedin, unfortunately.
Just at home.
Yeah. So there is one place in Brighton that has really good Malaysian... Well, it's not really Malaysian food, but it is Malay food. Just a little bit of advertising.
In Brighton.
It's a cafe which sells those things on the side. It's not the main thing, but they sell some really good nasi lemak, if anyone knows what that is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. And is it there are Malaysian owners or chefs at this place?
The owner is Singaporean.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. Good to know. I'll have to take a day trip out to Brighton for lunch.
Yeah.
Or something.
Maybe go to the beach as well.
Yeah. So great. Oh, yeah. It's like Dunedin is quite multicultural, isn't it?
It
like,
is.
Especially
yeah.
around the university and the hospital here.
Yeah.
We've got lots of professionals and students who are from other cultures, and I think
definitely
it's a strength of Dunedin, isn't it? And just bringing different ideas and styles and food and just knowledge of different cultures is always a good thing.
Yeah, it's important actually. Mm. Yeah, to get all these different ideas, and also to representation is also quite important. You know, just being a strong female leader who is also a woman of color is in Dunedin is quite, you know, nice, because then the younger generation gets inspired by that.
Yeah, it's important.
It is important, yeah.
Really important. Mm, good for you. You're definitely leading the way in that, Sophia.
Yeah, just, I felt when, like, growing up here, I didn't really have a lot of that, but...
Okay.
Yeah.
So maybe the multicultural aspect's fairly recent, do you think?
I mean, not really. I think it's always been quite multicultural, but I think in specifically Muslim female leaders, it's not too common here in Dunedin.
Yeah.
But it is growing. Yeah.
Yeah. Would it be common in Malaysia?
Definitely.
Yeah.
There's a lot of women CEOs and everything.
Okay.
Like here, I think there's only like 8% of women CEOs. But since in Malaysia...
Women in... In total, not even Muslim women or women of color.
Yeah, no, women in total, women CEOs. 8% of CEOs in New Zealand are women.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's low.
It is low. Yeah.
So what's it in Malaysia?
I'm not actually too sure, but since the majority of the population is Muslim, and there is a really big modest fashion industry in Malaysia, it's like, it's crazy.
Wow.
But most of them are run by women. And
okay.
Yeah, there's a lot of successful businesswomen in Malaysia who are Muslim women. So
yeah. Oh, that's awesome. But as you say, important to model it here too, in New
Zealand.
Yeah. Wow. That's good to know. Just to have that awareness and that knowledge, isn't it?
Yeah.
What young women need, young women of color need, you know?
Mm. Definitely.
To see modeled. Okay. So tell us a little bit about this program that, what was it? Young Entrepreneurs?
Young Enterprise.
Young Enterprise. So is that a New Zealand thing?
It's a New Zealand thing, yeah.
Okay.
So all throughout the country, students participate in, you know, this program that basically helps you build your own brand and your own business. It's like a competition as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's mainly a competition, I'd say.
Okay.
And it's usually groups. So you get a group in your class and you make your own business, and it's meant to be quite fun. It is quite fun.
Was that your experience? Was it fun?
I enjoyed it. It's just I'm not a very competitive person.
Okay.
So that aspect of it was not really my thing, but
you just wanted to do your designs.
To run the business. And I was a sole trader.
Okay.
For most of it. I did have a business partner this year though, because the first year was a bit hard on my own.
Yeah,
so that did add to the pressure of business.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it was a really worthwhile experience, and gaining all the knowledge and opportunities from that was really worthwhile.
Yeah. Huge. And so it's a government program that's run through the schools or something?
I don't think it's government.
Okay.
It's by the Lion Foundation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's run through the schools.
I haven't heard of it before, but I'm not, in my circles, I'm not that involved in, I guess it's secondary level.
It's run through my business studies class. But the first year it was established in Bayfield, it wasn't a class. It was just like a elective sort of thing.
Mm.
So we did it once a week, which was quite hard to really establish something.
Yeah.
But that wasn't the year Pillar was existing, so it's fine. But the second year that it was happening, it was already a class by then. So
okay,
yeah, we had four days a week to work on business things, and it was really good.
Great opportunity.
Yeah.
And so, like, do you get the material to your home and sew it in your home, or do you outsource that, or how does that work?
Well, we buy the material from the fabric store, because that's the easiest way to get it for now. And then I would sell it to the, I mean, not sell it, like send it to a really talented seamstress who is an ex-refugee. Her name's Mana Hill. She's really, cool. Yeah, she does it for me, and then I sell it. Because I think throughout high school, I didn't really have time to sew them.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I had to outsource that talent.
And really cool to involve a former refugee who has that talent.
Yeah.
That probably, is wanting to use it and create. That's a really cool part of it as well.
Yeah.
Wow, so do you have a website, or how does that work?
Yeah, we have a website. Yeah, it's www.pillar.co.nz.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have an Instagram. So,
oh, do you? Oh, of course, you young modern ones.
Yeah,
it's important, isn't it?
It is. I think these days marketing is all social media, to be honest. It's also called Pillar_hijabs, if you want to check that out. Yeah.
I do want to check it out. So, listener, do check it out, too. So, is the hijab you're wearing today, is this one of yours?
No, it's not one of mine, yeah. Okay. This is one I just threw on. It was on my, table, so I just, it was easy.
Took the one that was there?
Yeah, and then walked out the house. Yeah. I think my pillow ones are in the wash. I wore them quite recently. So,
Cool. No, well, you look very stylish.
Oh, thank you.
Might take your photo if with your permission and add it to the Facebook page of Wondering Women.
Oh yeah, but it'll be nice.
And I'll add your link too, so people can see your actual designs. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So, what's next? You've already done so much. You're 18. You finished high school. Your whole life is still before you. Do you have any plans?
I actually plan to, I guess, live my life a bit, because I feel like I've been in education for the past 13 years, and I think there wasn't really much of a break from that. So I do want to take 6 months of next year off before I go into study again. So I plan to travel during that period. So I'm going to Malaysia, Singapore, and Japan, which should be fun.
Yeah.
So that's my plan.
Cool.
Yeah.
And just travel and visit some family.
And visit some new places.
Experience different cultures.
And then I come back and study textiles.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Here at Otago?
No, in Massey.
Massey, okay.
Yeah, which is exciting because I had initially planned to just go straight into the business line of stuff, but since I do have that passion for fashion, and I wasn't really able to do a lot of that in high school. It was mainly just the business stuff. So, yeah, I really want to get into that more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So textiles, like specifically working with different fabrics and designing hijabs and hand socks and whatever
modest
else.
Stuff.
modest fashion.
Yeah, I really want to bring that industry to New Zealand, but add that twist, the New Zealand and sustainable twist to it.
So, yeah. Because it's a big thing in fashion these days, isn't it? The sustainability. I had no idea until recently that I've read different articles and about how much goes to landfill, that just because it's not the latest fashion anymore, that's how they make their next sales on their next style because the other ones aren't available or whatever. But
yeah,
fashion industry is a bit more aware of it, aren't they?
Yeah, because these days fast fashion is kind of the main, it's really horrible because of the textile waste and how if it's not trendy, it just gets thrown out. And also the amount that people are buying at once. So it really adds to waste and landfill, which is not what we want. We want to reduce that waste. So, yeah, I really wanted to try and, help. Well, not really help, but, be...
Make a difference.
Make a difference, yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, that's really important. And there must be a way, especially if more and more of the fashion industry takes on this idea and responsibility, that there must be a way to be successful and sustainable.
Yeah. definitely. I think the main way is using what's already there and, you know, reusing old stuff that have been thrown to landfill or recycling clothes. But I think the main thing with fashion is just to use what you already have in your closet. I mean, I know that does the opposite of, you know, you should buy my stuff. But it's true, though, because if we're you don't need that many clothes. And I just think, like, having one or two really nice pieces, buying one or two nice pieces once a year that is good quality and sustainable, and then using what you already have will help reduce that landfill that, you know, the waste that goes to landfill every year.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And, like, I'm a huge op shopper. Like,
I love thrifting as well. Yeah,
it's so good, isn't it? And I love it. But I'm constantly aware. And, like, honestly, 90% of what I wear is secondhand.
Mm.
But even in the secondhand shops, there's so much option.
Yeah.
And they're, like, nice clothes. Mm. I mean, it's a bit of a hit or miss and hunt and dig and aspect to it, which is probably what I love as well. Mm. But when, like, I don't do it sort of altruistically. Like, that's part of my motivation, but also I like a bargain. But also I realize that I can only do this because so many people are getting rid of so many nice clothes.
Yeah, I know.
Like, it's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I am also an avid thrifter. Actually, everything I'm wearing right now wasn't originally mine.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
But it's really interesting that I can have a really... I consider my closet to be quite stylish.
You're very stylish. Yeah. Today you are anyway.
Oh, thank you. Like, without much effort from me, because, like, usually when you think of thrifting, it's like, you know, your grandma's clothes from like the 70s. But really it's not. It's things that people bought 2 years ago, which are out of trend. And but also I'm lucky that I also have friends who hand down their stuff to me.
Yeah.
Shout out to Arina for giving me my entire closet, to be honest.
I have a friend like that too. So they're very generous and nice friends to have. But there is a creative aspect to thrifting as well. I didn't that's a new term for me, thrifting.
Yeah.
But so, like, you find that's part of what I like. Like if you walk into Glaçons, to me, everything looks the same. Like,
It
just all looks the same. And, I mean, I'm probably too old for that shop anyway, but that's just an example.
Yeah.
But when you go to a thrift store, it's like you just find something that looks like you, or you, I don't know, you wear it in a different way, or you combine it with something that you wouldn't think to, and sort of this fluorescent lit shop that everything...
Yeah.
I don't know. It's hard to explain. Like... You know, like I said, we need those shops too, and they're businesses that serve a fair go.
But also having that lack of option, I guess, from op shops is actually quite nice, because then it, like, forces you to think creatively with what you have.
Yeah, yeah, true, actually.
What I enjoy, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't shop at, I don't really buy new stuff. Because when I walk into those stores, it's really hard for me to choose, because, you know, there's so much to choose from. Whereas if I go from an op shop, there's only like a few really nice stuff that catches my eye. And it's like, I enjoy that part.
I totally agree. It's overwhelming walking into a department store. Like, it's just so overwhelming. I usually just turn around and walk out.
Yeah. And looking at the price tags as well sometimes.
Yeah, that's overwhelming.
Like, is it worth it for me to really?
That's right.
Yeah.
And some people say to me, like, your thoughts on this, oh, I don't have time to op shop. And I get it. Like, I mean, I'm a working mother and I'm busy. But, like, literally walking here today to do this recording, I had 5 extra minutes. So I popped into the op shop. And, and I always go on the $1 rack. I found a little jumpsuit that I might wear, I might not, I don't know, but like, it doesn't take a lot of time.
No, it doesn't. I think when you're thrifting, once you see something that catches your eye, you know, you buy it. Whereas if you're in a department store, there'll be a lot of things that catch your eye, and then you kind of have to make a decision.
Yeah.
Or you just might end up buying all of it and then never wearing any of it. Yeah,
actually, that's probably my problem. A terrible decision maker at the best of times.
I'm really indecisive.
So maybe op shopping is for the indecisive.
Yeah.
Oh, cool. It's been so awesome talking to you. I just have one last question for you. Mm-hmm. We finish each show with the same question to our inspiring women guests.
Okay. Yeah.
And because part of it, the premise behind the show is to just highlight women and their stories, and every woman has an inspiring story, but also to offer wisdom and advice. So our last question is, what does it look like for Sophia to flourish? Like, what practices do you have to fulfill Sophia?
I think for me to flourish is me just really trying to follow my dreams without listening to the negativity of people who disagree with my ideas. I think, growing up, I've heard a lot of, negativity. People will say things about you that might be wrong. Especially as a female leader, there'll be a lot of that kind of thing. Because I was a head girl at school. And it was really interesting to see how people see you as a woman of color in a leadership position. It's not actually that easy. I thought it would be like, oh, you're so inspiring. But really, people, you know, will say things and it might not be the most positive thing, and you'll think about it for a long time and think that it's true. But really, it's not, because you are in that position because you deserve that position. And so just follow those dreams without listening to the negativity around you. And that's kind of me flourishing.
That's really good advice. Yeah. And I think especially women and young women, like, you know, in peer groups, there can be a lot of pressure and a lot of negative voices. So that's really good advice. Thanks, Sophia.
Yeah.
Flourish by tuning out those negative voices that aren't actually true anyway.
Yeah.
Cool. Definitely. Well, thanks so much for sharing your story with us today.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, me too. And learning about, you're quite an inspiring young woman. So I look forward to seeing where your life takes you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Kia ora for listening. Tune in 2 weeks' time for our next episode of Wondering Woman. Until then, take care. Stay safe. Ka kite anō, everyone.
Ever wonder about the stories of the women around you?
We wanted to create an intentional space for women to share the wisdom they have gained through life experiences.
Tune in to be in awe of some of the wonder women in our midst. Wondering Woman on ORFM Dunedin, 10 a.m. Sundays, replayed 6:30 Wednesdays.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.